In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Baba, and the Gospel of this blessed Sunday is from the Gospel of St. Mark, and it is about the story of the four friends who brought their friend who was paralytic, and they uncovered the roof because they couldn't enter from the door, and they presented him before the Lord Christ. And as we can see, this man received many blessings. Not only his healing, but also he received the honor of sonship. The Lord called him son, and then he also received the forgiveness of his sins. He told him first, your sins are forgiven you. And then he healed his infirmity. When God gives, God is gracious, and he gives without measure. And that's why we pray to him in the Gregorian liturgy and say, O you who do more than we ask or understand. This is whom he is. This is his nature. He is giver as a lover of mankind, as beneficent. This is his nature that we know about him. But God also is wise, and he is not just throwing his blessings without reason or a rationale behind it. Otherwise, it will be something that has no meaning. There are certain blessings that God gave to anyone, even without asking. His sun shines upon the righteous and the wicked. When the rain comes, it does not distinguish between the land of a good person or a land of an evil person. So all of these earthly blessings, God will give it even to those people who deny his existence and who blaspheme against him in his face. But when we speak about the spiritual blessings, let us go and see how God gives and to whom his blessings go to. Today, the first example is this paralytic who received sonship, who received forgiveness of sins, and he received also healing. Why did God give him all of this? First, we can see his trust in God. He was a paralytic. He has infirmity that lasted with him for many years, but he still believed that it is curable. God has healing for him. He and his friends work together as a unit. They have love, true love and friendship towards him. They did not abandon him after many years of trying, and of course, this kind of illness would last for generations. They did not give up when they found the house full of people. So God looked at all of this, looked at the faith, looked at the love, looked at this kind of friendship that worked all of this, and that's why God poured this blessing to them. So now we know if we want God to look upon us, to give us, we have to have this kind of unity in our own families, in our own churches. Division will always bring destruction and desolation. God will look upon us when we are united as individuals, when our hearts are united. We are not going in life with two lives or two hearts. God will look upon us and bless us. When our families are united, we are all working towards one goal. God will look upon our homes and bless them. When our churches are united and we all have the same heart and we are after the same goal, the salvation of us and everyone around us, when we have this kind of feelings towards those people who are suffering against, suffering around us, we will receive all of these blessings that was given to the paralytic. Look to another example, the example of Adam. Adam, when he trespassed the commandment of the Lord, he was like forced to leave the Garden of Eden. But before he leaves, he received a gift from God. What was the gift? A promise. The promise is that one day your offspring will come a savior. And when we look here at Adam, what did he do in order for him to receive this great gift and this promise? I'm sure that God looked upon Adam and his remorse, and he looked at the misery that he is at, and he pitied mankind. The only reason here was God's love for man. As a loving father, he did not hesitate to do whatever it takes in order to save man, even after Adam messed up everything. God promised him and gave him this promise just because of God's goodness and his love towards mankind. So we should not lose hope at any time. When we look upon us and we see that corruption and sin already overwhelmed our hearts and our minds and took everything that's good in our lives, we still have the hope of Adam, that God may look upon us just because of his name that was called upon us, because we are called after his name, we are Christians, we are his children. The third example where God also gave and gave abundantly was King Solomon. We know that Solomon loved God, and in one night, God appeared to him in a dream, and he asked him, "Solomon, what do you want, and I will grant you?" And if you imagine, God here is signing a blank check to this man, telling him, "Whatever you ask, I will grant it to you." What is the first thing that would come to my mind or your mind when something like this might happen? Solomon, he answered wisely. He did not rush into, "I want this and this. I was waiting for this day, and now you granted me this, so I want you to grant me this." Solomon actually first thanked God for what was given to him and his father. And he told him, "Because now I am entrusted over many people, then I need wisdom. I need that you support me with a discerning heart so I can judge between or among your people." God answered and said to him, "I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." Not only this, but God also said to him, "And because you do not ask for anything else, I will grant you riches that no one else have attained." And we know about Solomon that in his time was a time of peace. All of his enemies were subdued under his foot, and this man was richer than anyone ever lived. Why all of this was given? If we go back and examine how he answered, he has love for God, truly from his heart. He used to offer thousands of sacrifices every time he presented himself. He loved to worship. It was a sign of genuine love towards God. Before he asks, he made sure to offer thanksgiving. "Before I ask for something new, I have at least to acknowledge what was given to me, and I thank God for them." He had this sense of responsibility. "I am asking for something not for me as a person, but in order for me to be able to govern your people in the right way." And again, what he asked was something according to God's heart. Ask it for wisdom that's from above. Because of all of these reasons, God granted him everything. Now we know, if we want God to grant us wisdom, we have to ask. He will give us with it extras, whatever comfort or whatever God would see it fit. Sometimes we chase riches, and this is what we are after every day, and that's why we find difficulty attaining any or even finding the wisdom that we might be looking for. Solomon is an example of God's graciousness, what he gave to him. And now we know the reason Solomon presented his case in the right way before God. That's why he received all of these blessings. Another example where we look at and we repeat, "O you who do more than we ask or understand," was the widow of Zarephath. This widow lived in the time of Ahab the king and Elijah the prophet. At her time, there was a famine that affected every single house. In these troubled days, Elijah came and knocked on the door of her house, and he asked to lodge in her house to find a place for him to rest, because this is what God instructed him to do. So now imagine a widow who has no husband to take care of her. She lives at the time of a famine. She only has a son and she has very little of oil and flour, maybe to bake a cake or a bread here, and that's it. And now she has a guest. And this guest is a man who requested that she would do something for him to eat. How difficult is this situation that this widow was at? But she didn't think twice. We don't read in the book of Kings that she hesitated, or she refused, or she said in her heart, like any mom would do, I have a son to take care of. You are a man, and you are coming to me so I can support you. Is it really how it should work? This widow that we know, not her name, what she did for Elijah what he requested. She baked something to him and gave him to eat, not thinking what is going to happen afterward. Elijah did not promise her that she is going to be blessed before he asks for her to cook something for him. He did not say to him, look, if you give me, God is going to grant you everything. He just asked, bake something for me first to eat, and then you can do for yourself and your son. And then she received this. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. She trusted God before hearing this promise, and that's why God poured his blessings upon her house abundantly. The problem between us and this woman is that we know the information with our mind. We know that God is gracious and he will give to those who trust in him. But it is far difficult when this comes to application, that we live by this, that we make a decision as serious as this decision that this woman made. She did it, and that's why God blessed her and granted her all of these material things that she was not in need. Another example of the graciousness of God was Saint Peter. On the day when Saint Peter was called to ministry, he had a bad day, as we call it. He worked all night and he did not get anything. And that's why maybe someone like him will go back home and maybe taking some sleep. Usually fishing takes place during the late night of the day or the early at the dawn time. Saint Peter, to his surprise, had this rabbi, the Lord Jesus, asked him, can I borrow your boat? I need it so I can use it as a pulpit. I can use it to preach to the people. Maybe someone like in a situation like this would say, I'm so tired, I had a bad day, excuse me, I need to go back home and have some rest. I'm sorry, I cannot lend you anything today. But he did what was requested of him, take my boat and use it. When the Lord kept on preaching and teaching the people, he listened like anybody else. And after the sermon was done, the Lord asked him, did you find anything during the last day? He said, no, we didn't have any luck. We tried. It was a tough day. So he requested that he would throw his net on the side. And again, a professional fisherman like him would definitely question, what do you mean? I have been trying in this spot for hours. What difference does it make if I throw the net from this side or this side? What exactly are you trying to tell me? I don't think it would work. His mind could have been a hindrance because he has the skill, the knowledge. He knows that it's not going to work, but he obeyed. I will obey you. I trust you. I don't know what I'm going to be granted, but I will do as you say. When he threw his net, now we know the story. It was full of fish that he could not even pull it out. He needed help. Immediately, he requested something that looks very strange. He asked the Lord to depart from his boat. Depart from me. You are so holy and I am a sinner. This is what came to his mind. This is how he reacted to the graciousness of the Lord. Saint Peter, who worked with the Lord, obeyed him against his knowledge and realized his sinfulness, is now ready to receive the blessing that's going to make him Saint Peter, the chief or the main or one of the like the most famous disciples. He told him, now don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men. Why this was given to him? Why the graciousness of the Lord was granted to Saint Peter? Because of all of this. Because he knew that he does not deserve this. We have a problem when we think that we are worthy of something. We can claim and say, I don't deserve. I am a sinner, but we don't mean it. Really, inside my heart, I am entitled to receive certain blessings or honor from God. And maybe I am angry at him because he did not grant me what I think is my right, what I deserve. I have made in my heart many comparisons between me and others. And I concluded at the end, God is not fair. And then I say, I'm not worthy. Truly, I don't mean it. The people who truly mean it, they understand what does it mean that I am a sinner, I am not really worthy of any of his blessings, will receive and receive much, much more than what they think or they ask. Another example is the prodigal son. Of course, we know the story very well. And this boy, when he came back to his father, he has no rights. He took already his share of money and he wasted it. So when he came back, maybe the best he can think or wish for is that I would be received as a hireling, a person who works in the house, just to eat with them. I cannot even demand that I would be treated as a son. And now look at his father, who presents God to us. When he said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Why? Why, O Lord, will you grant all of this to this son who wasted all of your money with the adulteress and the people who are not pleasing to you? Then the reason is he returned. He came back to me. Not only coming back, but also taking responsibility for his actions. I am the one who caused this to myself. Can we repeat this with this boy? That we blame ourselves, that the mess that we might be heading to or living in is simply my choices. I caused this to myself. Not only this, but he also came accepting the consequences of his actions. I am ready to be treated as a hireling, and I will not be upset. I will not be angry if you, Lord, choose that you do not get me back to the house. Simply, I did this to myself. I deserve it. I now have no rights. When we approach God with this attitude, that we are sinners, we have no right to demand it from you because what we did, God will look upon us with the eyes of mercy. He will pity us and he will give us as he gave to the prodigal son. Again, the issue is here. Sometimes when we come back to him, we think it's even. It's good that I came back. I'm not ready to accept the blame and also to say that I have to bear consequences is something I see it as unfair. Why it should happen? This is too much. Didn't I come back already to God? Why I have to go through this? Didn't I ask from him? And he is, as a father, should be doing this and this to me. The prodigal son didn't do this. And that's why he received all of these gifts from his father. Another example is the tax collector, the publican, who went praying at the temple at the same time when the Pharisee went there. The Pharisee, when he went there, He was tempted to look to the tax collector, and when he raised his hand to pray, he said, I thank you, O Lord, because I'm not like this man. He made this comparison, and that made him to feel like, I am righteous, I am better than others. But for the tax collector, what only he uttered, that, Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. He did not even dare to lift up his eyes and look to heaven. Then we hear the Lord the Christ commenting on the story himself, saying, I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. This humility that made him ready to receive. This is the prerequisite of every gift that comes from on high. Humility, humbleness. I approach God in need. I realize my shortcomings. I am asking for a gift, not because I deserve, but because I need it. As sometimes we pray, we say to him, give to me, O Lord, because I am a sinner, because I have done everything that is wicked before your eyes. As if these are the reasons on which I am asking God to look upon me. Humility is the prerequisite of every good gift. Without it, it's very hard that God would give us anything. The last example we are going to talk about today is the right-hand thief. This man received something unthinkable, that he received the paradise just by confessing to the Lord, asking him to remember him when he comes in his kingdom. He received this promise without a word of rebuke, without even questioning him about his previous life, or the Lord would say, it's too late, my son. I wish that you came to me maybe yesterday, so we have time, so we can talk, and then you can do something in order for you to be able to receive this. You want to receive eternity just in the last few minutes in your life? This didn't happen. He was granted immediately what he requested. Why? What did he do? First, he confessed his wrongdoing. He said this to the left-hand thief. We were justly judged. What's happening to us now is the natural consequence of our choices. He acknowledged the lordship of the master. He told him, remember me when you come in your kingdom. So he knew that he is a king. He has a kingdom. And when did he know this? He knew this at the time of the cross, when he saw the Lord in maybe the weakest time in his life. As I was saying before, we all come to the church and we can pray. The church is air-conditioned, has light, everything is offered. But look at the people who went to the churches in Egypt after they were burned by the terrorists, and they prayed over there. Those people, they lifted their eyes and their hearts before an altar that is burned. They are seeing this is the temple, this is a house of worship that God did not protect. How can we request from a God who cannot protect his worship place that he would take care of us? Those people who prayed are like this thief. He's seeing the Lord in time of weakness. But I believe still, I don't need evidence. I do not need to see a miracle in order for me to trust you, that you are a king and a Lord, and you are the one who can grant me salvation and eternity. Blessed are all of those people who are the time of difficulty, where everything is not going right, and they are not hearing anything that's come from their heart from heaven. They still can stand and pray and trust God. Those people will receive abundantly as the right-hand thief did. So again, we are talking today about the graciousness of God. And we pray to him, O you who do more than we ask or understand. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.